Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yak Gadget. Made in America. Based outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Yak Gadget offers all kinds of storage accessories, quick mount motor mounts, anchor systems, track mounted accessories, even paddles. Go to yakgadget.com and get your kayak decked out for your next trip out on the water.
The 153 Bait Company, based in Troy, Ohio, make everything from plastics to custom painted hard baits. Hook them hard and hook them off. All of our baits are made to order and all of our hard baits are hand painted to order. So go to the153anglers.com to place your order today.
This segment is brought to you by Jigmasters. Step up your game with high-quality performance jigs, spinnerbaits, buzzbaits, and more from Jigmasters.com. And always, when in doubt, get the jig out.
You're listening to Bass Fishing for Noobs, the Paddle and Fin Podcast, with your hosts Ryan Milford and Sean Lavery.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to Bass Fishing for Noobs here on the Paddle and Fin Podcast. I am your host, Sean Lavery, and with me, as always, is my good buddy, Ryan Milford. Milford, how are you doing tonight, brother?
Oh, I'm doing all right, man. You can see I got my big solo cup broken out.
That's like the bladder buster there, man. Woo!
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about it earlier. You know, I've been off work for 2 weeks, and haven't really broken it out, so to speak. So, breaking it out tonight.
Nice. All right. Well, we might have to make this brief, you know, just in case you empty that bad boy.
Hey, if I get chatty later, you know, y'all just stop me. Like.
Well, it's good to see you again. Tonight we have another awesome guest. I'd like to welcome to the Noob Show, Mr. Matt Gibson. We'll bring him in here. How's it going, Matt?
Doing good. How are you guys?
Very good. Yeah. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Yeah.
So for those of the folks, our listeners who don't know who you are, can you tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, kind of how you got into fishing and kayak fishing?
Sure. Yeah. My name is Matt Gibson. I'm from central Indiana here. Really got into fishing, gosh, when I was very, very young. You know, I had a Snoopy pole thrown out in the yard, you know, when I was a really, really small guy, and I can't really remember my life without fishing, to be honest. And I fished out of boat for a long time, for a while, and then honestly just kind of ran out of money trying to do things there. And saw these kayaks and saw you know, kind of the places you go in a kayak, and ever since then I've been hooked on kayak fishing. And I don't even like to fish out of a boat anymore. It's all about kayaks for me, man.
Same.
And what kind of kayak are you fishing out of right now?
So right now I'm fishing out of a New Canoe Unlimited. And in rivers, you know, I pop off the XI3, but in lakes I'm running the XI3, motor guide XI3 with a B&O powered lithium battery. So.
Nice. I've heard Brad talk about that so much. The spot lock features on those, man, sounds amazing.
Oh man, I can't tell you how many times it saved me this year, and just how easy fishing is now. So
I think someday that will definitely be in the works for me if I can talk the wife into that. So
yeah,
how's your motor setup going, Ryan? Are you still working on that?
Man, I've been lazy. I haven't really messed with it too much more. But, yeah, I should have got that done while I was off work for 2 weeks. But let's not talk about that. but yeah, like if they – here in Tennessee, you know, all the major clubs are all under one – I don't even – they're under CAST, which, you know, does the rules for all of the clubs. And they don't allow motors. And I feel like in the next year or two, it's going to happen. And when it does, I might be begging the wife to let me get one of those XI3s. Because, man, that just seems like so sweet. I'm probably going to put on weight because about the only exercise I get is pedaling my kayak. But yeah, it's gonna that'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, we were like that here in Indiana, too. This is the first year that the Indiana Kayak Anglers has allowed motors. I'm actually a tournament director with them. And it was, you know, the point where we were like the only ones, you know. We were like the old man, like, get off my lawn.
Central PA, PA still, I think most of kayak anglers of PA are
really
motors. Yep.
Honestly, it's been good. It's been a good transition for us, I think, as a club.
Have you noticed much of a difference, like, I guess compared to the past, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, the people that have, you know, most clubs have, like, a few people that normally, like, you know, they're going to place well. Have you noticed any type of difference in that since allowing motors?
No. I mean, the same guys that were in the top 15 or 20 are still in the top 15 or 20. And it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter what they're – so our angler of the year for the last, gosh, I'm trying to remember now. I think it's 4 years straight. He's been in – he started off paddling. Then he went to pedals. Then he changed manufacturers now and is now pedaling a different manufacturer. And, I mean, hasn't changed his fishing at all, really, as far as his placements and tournaments, so –
4 years in a row is a pretty good streak.
Yeah, and we've got some sticks in our club too. I mean, we got a lot of good young talent. You know, guys like, you know, Aiden Darlington's actually his name. Then we have like Nick Matthews, and then Jackson Orr.
Oh yeah, we've had Jackson on here before.
Yeah, but yeah. I was just wondering about that because, you know, you hear a lot of arguments against motors. Is, you know, oh well, it's gonna like scare the newcomers out of it, and you know, it's going to make it so much easier and all that. And as far as like physical fatigue and I guess a little bit of mental fatigue, it's going to wear on you a little more. But you know, you were talking about paddling. Russ Snyder's won the AOI in my local group paddling a kayak.
Yeah.
So I'm not necessarily like pro motors. Like I kind of like the, you know, manual power thing, but you know, if everybody else is doing it, you kind of got to keep up with them or get left behind. So
yeah, and actually, we were so here in the Midwest, we have a we get together with other groups and other clubs, and it's called the Crossroads Classic.
Yeah,
And we fish, you know, we fish against other clubs in other states, and we've been basically the only club that didn't have power for the last 2 years. And we came very close to winning the first one, and then last year we were fortunate enough to win. And again, yeah, that's with all of us having no power.
Yeah. So again, I mean, spot lock's one thing, but I mean, for the other than that, I really think, you know, just it's useful for getting to your spots and stuff, but you know, at the end of the day, you still have to know how to fish. So
that's absolutely right. Yep.
But I will say, you know, a new canoe with that XI3 on the front, and then get the pivot drive too. So just in case you need that.
Yeah.
That seems like it'd be a great setup.
Yep. I know a few guys that are looking at the Honda gas powered motor and an XI in the front.
Oh, wow.
So, there you go. For the tournaments?
I don't think they're looking for tournaments. I think they're looking to do some other things with them. But
I hadn't heard about gas motors being allowed in tournaments
yet. Yeah, I haven't heard anybody allow that yet. But Yeah, there's definitely some guys looking at doing that with new canoes and really extending their range. In
I was going to say, that, yeah, pretty much there. You're literally unlimited.
Yep.
That really makes me curious how fast they can be pushed by a small gas motor like that.
Like the 2.3? Yeah, it's it's probably – because, man, that Honda 2.3 is just – it's so light. Like, I can pick it up one-handed and just carry it around. But, yeah, I think let's see here. Probably – depends on what boat, but probably in the fives, sixes, wow. Somewhere around there.
And those things will run forever on just a little bit of gas, too.
Yep. Really. Yeah.
So, interesting.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, one of the main reasons why we wanted to bring Matt on tonight was to go over a technique that maybe seems like kind of has fallen behind the wayside here at times. It often gets overlooked.
One thing I want to add to that is I believe this is like one of the techniques that we've never covered. I don't remember ever covering this. So that's kind of exciting in itself because I feel like we've covered just about everything out there.
Right. And you know what else is interesting? Tactical Bassin just came out with a video this week saying the forgotten lore. And I was like, hey, we were going to do this before that came out, just so you know.
But, what was their forgotten lure?
It is.
It's the tube. Okay. Yep. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, just if you look, I think it's one of their newest videos. So
okay, I'll check it out.
But I swear I booked you before that came out. So tonight we'd like to just really take a dive deep into tube fishing. I have a little bit of experience with it. Again, I've heard great things about it on the Susquehanna. I've heard people, sing its praises. I've had some luck with it. I caught my first couple tube fish, fish on tubes this year, right around the winter to spring transition when the water was just starting to warm up. I ran into a gentleman and he's like, "Oh yeah, go down to this spot and throw a tube." I was crushing them on him and I pretty much did exactly what he told me. And sure enough, I actually started catching fish. And it was a very good learning experience for me because I had never really, I didn't have a rod that was sensitive enough to really feel that bobbing along the bottom. So this was the first time I ever had that feeling really of what that felt like. And I also started using the stupid tube because the first couple times I tried the regular tube jig on the river, I hung up a lot because Susquehanna is really rocky and so I kind of bailed on it, but once I found the stupid tube, I hung up a lot less. So, but we'll talk about all that tonight. So, I guess we'll just get started. I know you have a couple of visual aids too for the guys watching on YouTube. So,
I do.
Just to get started, let's kind of talk about a little about what a tube is for those of the listeners who don't know what it is, and kind of the most standard ways to rig it.
Yeah, let me get one out here. So really there's a few sizes with tubes. As far as like time of year, I fish a tube. There's not a time that I leave my house without a tube.
Okay.
Literally last year, a lake that I like to fish here in Indiana, half of it was froze and the other half was barely open and I caught them on a tube. Okay. And like, it's a great lure also to skip docks with. It's really replaced a jig in a lot of situations for me. You've got it's a hollow body. It's got some tentacles on the bottom of it. And just kind of a little bit of a harder head on it. And that's your basic tube right there. Sizes, it ranges all the way from like there's some bitsy stuff out there from 2.5 inches. And then there's some stuff up there that's like, almost 5 inches. So it's kind of all over the place as far as sizing. Something that people overlook tubes, and you were talking about how it's kind of a forgotten lure. This isn't just a smallmouth bait. I catch a lot of largemouth. in lakes on these. It's a very, very effective lure for all species of bass. A few years ago, I was very fortunate enough to go down to the Flint River and actually fish for shoal bass down there. And I took my stupid tube with me, and man, I got bit on it down there. But I mean, smallmouth, kind of where it gained fame is, I think it was the Lay Lake Classic, Bassmaster Classic. A gentleman from Indiana named Terry McWilliams is kind of the godfather of the stupid tube. And he was actually catching spots on it, like really, really big spots. So, I mean, it catches a lot of different species. It's not just a smallmouth gig. And there's, like you mentioned, there's a lot of good ways to rig it as well.
It's very versatile bait. Cause you don't have to have weight. We talked a little bit before the show, you can just Texas rig it, right?
Yep. Yep. You can Texas rig it. Something that's really effective is grab this is a 4.2 inch, tube here, and you know, grab your favorite flipping hook and grab you a big old weight and put it on there, and man, flipping it around grass, the bite can be amazing. Especially if they're keen on like bluegill and things like that, man, this thing will just get crushed, absolutely crushed. Something though with the Texas rig, that I'll kind of let the cat out of the bag here. If you Texas rig it, do not peg your sinker with this. You want it to spiral and dart. That's one thing a tube does, is it spirals and darts. And as soon as you peg that thing, it's just going to fall straight to the bottom.
Right.
So it loses that spiraling effect that you're really looking for, or like it almost, if you watch it almost dart and then it'll go straight down, or it'll dart and it does, it's got a lot of movement.
Which is weird because it doesn't look like it would, because the shape is pretty simple, but
yeah.
The first time I threw it in clear water, I was amazed to watch it, you know, like you said, spiral down, and it really does. So,
yep.
Now, go ahead.
I was going to say, that makes me wonder, you know, it's been a while now, but one time, you know, Sean actually shared a post on Facebook of a way to rig it where it's on like a tube jig where the, like it's got the weight on the end of the, like on the hook.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually rigged it up. I believe it was to where the weight was inside the tube. Right, Sean?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. You took almost like a drop shot weight, maybe the bulbous kind, and you actually put that in first. Then you hook it through the eye of the weight, and then ran your Texas rigged it after that. And it was if you didn't have like the normal tube jig heads, it was a way to just kind of make your own. But it also let you kind of Texas rig it at the same time. So
yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you guys heard like stroking the jig, like you get a big heavy jig, you throw it out there and you just yank it and just let it fall. Cause you're trying to get them to react to the fall. It's kind of the same process that you guys or same technique you guys are talking about. In an area where you feel like you won't get hung up, or you're fishing some deeper water, maybe where there's not wood or there's not big rock or anything like that. Maybe it's crushed rock. You can go with that open jig head like that, and you can do the exact same thing. And what you do is you just kind of let it fall on the taut line, and it spirals down. And then you get your rod, and you just pop it twice real hard, just pow, pow. And it'll bring it up off the bottom, and then it'll spiral back down. That can be a really effective way to catch them on the tube for sure.
And yeah, and I would think that would be a good deep water, you know, when you're out fishing deep, maybe deeper than, you know, sometimes I normally do. Because ripping off the bottom in deep water, I've heard good things about that.
Yep.
Well, what I was getting at a minute ago, I guess misrecollected it. On that, I thought it was actual tube jig, but either way, the weight's inside it. You were talking about a spiraling down. Ooh, hope that cup ain't already getting to me. But Yeah, so wouldn't that affect that spiral and just make it fall straight down like you were talking, like you don't want?
It depends on how heavy a weight you're using. If you're using a lighter, you know, typically you'll want to use a lighter weight on that. I typically don't fish it like that a whole lot, honestly, because we have a lot of wood here. And you know, if you're pulling through grass or something like that, you could probably get away with that. But that spiral technique, you can actually play with where that jig head eyelet comes out and how tight of a spiral you want. So there's a lot of experimentation you can do with that for sure, and you can get a really wide spiral sometimes with them.
And I know, you have some standard jig heads there just to kind of show the folks what those look like.
I
can run upstairs and grab some if we need to. But
all I have, well, you'll get the idea here. This is a little bit different, but it's pretty daggone close.
So normally, for the folks who are just listening on the podcast, it's a, you know, a kind of bulbous kind of weight with that is right on the kind of the head of the hook with the eyelet kind of protruding, sometimes different angles. I've seen like 90 degree, 45 degree, and that also depends on how your spiral goes, I'm guessing, right?
Yep. Yep. And yeah, I mean, I'll try to kind of mock one up here best I can, but that's kind of a open hook version.
Right.
It would be something like that.
That's what I would almost call the standard way to rig it. So basically you just take that bulbous end up, stick it, the tube is hollow. So you kind of stick it in the tentacle end and push it up until the eyelet comes out the head of it. And then you tie off there. That was one thing. The very first time I threw it, I tied the hook first and I'm like, wait, it's not going to work. So you always have to put the hook in first and then push it through the tube and then tie it off after you're done. So, So I'd argue that's kind of what I would call the quote unquote standard way to rig it. And then, what I've referred to as the stupid tube. And for those of our viewers who don't know what that is, do you want to explain how that works?
Sure. So it looks like that. And let me grab it on top here. So kind of the same idea and exactly what you were describing earlier. So it's this lead head that goes through the tube and back through the tube once again.
Right. So you kind of put it in and you spin it around, and then is that how you do it?
Yeah. Let me,
it's kind of hard to, I saw the instructions and I had to do it a couple times till I got it right.
Yeah. Let me see if I can't show it real quick. So
you put the hook end in.
Yep. Push it through, and you want to pick out a spot on the tube about where you want your eyelet to come out. So see the tip of the hook right there.
Yep.
Pull that.
And then you kind of pull the whole hook through until you have the lead into where it's supposed to be.
Yep. So what I do is I just flip it around like this, and I just kind of grab the head of the tube itself and just pull that hook. And you're just pulling it through. And then when you get almost about there, what you don't want to do is tear out through this side. So you just kind of walk it up and you can feel that. And there it just flipped right over for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just pop your eyelet out, bunch up your hook here.
You see, that's what I was talking about before.
Okay. This
right here is the stupid tube.
Right. So then you almost texpose the hook at that point and it's, Yep.
That's exactly it right there.
Now I've tried that with a couple of different tube brands. Like I forget, I actually purchased the stupid tube box, like that has a bunch of them. And their tubes are a little thicker. So they kind of stand up to that, tugging it through a little bit. But I had some other tubes that I tried it with that weren't quite as substantial, and they did rip out easier, so you do have to be a little gentle while you're doing it. But
the Berkeley tubes, those are great tubes to either Texas rig or use on that open style jig head, but Yeah, a Berkeley tube, typically you're going to rip off like half the head trying to do it this way. They're super soft. They're great. But for fishing an actual stupid tube, I buy all my stuff from Secret Lures.
I'm pretty sure that's who I got mine through too. Yeah. And they have a really good deal on that box. Like it comes with a bunch of different colors of tubes and a bunch of different, maybe two or three different sizes of tube jig heads. I believe.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a great starter pack if you're just looking to get into it. And that's what I caught my first fish on. And definitely check them out. They got lots of good stuff. So,
yeah. And what's great about this is with this rig right here, I mean, you can throw this thing anywhere, and sometimes it'll get a little bit pinched up in a rock. I'll kind of tell you how I fish a little bit. You know, I'll throw it out there on a slack line, and a lot of times on the slack line, you'll get bit. I mean, they'll pick it up right away.
So you want to watch your line, I guess.
Yep, that's exactly right. And we can talk about line here in a minute, but let it drop. You know, like in the river, and you'll pull it, and then you'll come up to something, and you'll feel the, you'll just feel it, just like it just stops, just like this. Well, instead of immediately popping it and making it come over that stuff or pulling on it too hard, if you just let it fall back down that rock, that's the juice. Like that's when you'll get bit. You'll just feel it. And they'll knock slack in your line. They'll hit it so hard. Right. It's just gone.
Nice.
And just in case anybody is curious to try out the Stupid Tube by Secret Lures, I just got on here and secretlures.com. They have that kit that Sean was talking about for $19.99. And looks like it comes with several different colors, a couple different jig sizes and stuff. So. Yeah, everything you need right there in a box, and it comes in what appears to be like a maybe a 3600 size or something like that.
It's a little smaller. I could run up and grab it. I actually have it up in my tackle box.
Well, it comes with a box that you can reuse if you
need
absolutely.
So that's pretty cool.
Yep, it comes with some good colors too. It comes with green pumpkin, which I mean that's a classic color for any soft plastic.
Yeah, anything.
Yeah, exactly. And it comes with like a shaddish color one if I remember right, and then is it black and blue?
I think just black.
Okay. Oh, black neon. So it's got a little bit of a red flag.
It says 8 green pumpkin, 4 black neon, 4 shad. BG purple. I'm not sure what BG.
Hold on. What? Go ahead. I'm going to run up and grab it because I know I have some.
And then it comes with 4 3/16 ounce jig heads and 4 1/8 ounce jig heads.
Yep. And so, in that kit is the 3.7 size tube, which is great. Yeah. I mean, that's like if I'm skipping docks a lot or fishing the river for smallmouth, like that's kind of my go-to is a 3.7. It's a really nice size. It's a good size. And it comes with it really is a great starter pack, and for the price it's tough to beat.
And they actually have another kit on here for the same price, and it looks like it's got 4 different colors, but all of them, the body is green pumpkin, it looks like. And the tentacles are all different colors. You got one red, an orange, a blue, a yellow. So you can even get something like that.
Yeah.
Want to get crazy.
So this is the size of the, I don't know if you can see that. That's what the
size of the box is. Okay, so it's a smaller.
Yeah. But, and I don't have any of the jig heads anymore because I used them all. But I have the green pumpkin, and then this is the black neon, and then this is the shad color. So they have a bunch of good colors in there. I only have one of the shad color left because those seem to be what I was catching on in the river. So
all right, this is something I gotta ask. You know, I love the Ned rig, at least this year I do. But anytime I go out and I'm using the Ned rig a lot, I can pretty much guarantee I'm going to lose three or four of them. And when you use tungsten Ned heads that are about $2 a pop, that hurts after a little bit. So how often are you losing these? Because I feel like these are maybe a little more weedless, you know, the way you've shown that rig them.
Yep. So what I hate about Ned rig is you get hung up all the time.
Yeah.
Like I... Especially rivers around here, you know, rivers here have a bunch of rock in them, but they also have just a bunch of timber, just a bunch of logs, a bunch of everything. And I don't know about you, but like when I go fishing, I don't want to lose a whole pack of anything. Like,
yeah.
And that's what I found myself doing with the Ned rig.
Yeah. And especially something that you have to order. You can't just go to the store and
right.
buy, 'cause then you got to wait on it.
Right. And so like I buy these in bulk from Secret Lures. And I mean, I have some that I've had for 2.5-3 years. Like you don't lose them very often. Of course you throw them way up in a tree or something like that,
yeah.
But you really don't lose them a lot. And they're built with really good components. They stay sharp. They're really good hooks. They're high end hooks. So yeah, I mean that's a great point. You don't get hung up as much. And then also, yeah, I mean I've had some of this stuff for a long while now. Now tubes, that's one thing, right? I mean, but kind of like Sean said, these are pretty tough and durable tubes, like. They're still very soft, so when a fish picks them up, most of the time they don't let go of them. But, you know, I might go through, in a river trip, I might go through 4 or 5 tubes
mm-hmm.
with the same jig head.
Right.
Like,
I could live with that.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad at all.
No, I agree. And, you know, like I said, some of the other ones, I think I had some KVD coffee tubes that were a little more, you know, not quite as tear resistant and stuff.
Yeah.
I kind of burned through them a little bit. I have Z-Man tubes. I have not thrown them on that yet. Just cause I didn't bring them out the last couple times I went out, but I'm looking forward to trying them. I imagine those will be just as durable. So anxious to see how that works too. So, all right. So we talked about kind of, do you want to talk about kind of the weights you look for, or when you use those, you know, how you kind of pick and choose when to use which weight.
So I keep, as far as like a stupid tube, I keep it very, very easy. I, for the 4.2, so the bigger tube, I use a 3/16 ounce HD, and that's actually what that is. It's got a little bit heavier hook in it, a little bit bigger eyelet on it than the standard tube. Jig, and then it's a 4-aught. So oddly enough, the 3/16 regular one is also a 4-aught. It's just not as beefy and it's not quite as big. So for the 3.7 tube, I'm throwing a 3/16 4-aught as well. Okay. That seems to be a good rate that I can take to the river and fish in the current, but I can also take it and fish it in a lake and then. Also, like with the HD tube, if I want to go out and fish a little bit deeper, I don't feel like I'm waiting forever for it to hit the bottom.
Okay. That brings up an interesting question I was going to ask you about. You mentioned lakes and rivers. I know in the rivers, you target eddies, I'm guessing, and that kind of thing. Any place else you generally target in the rivers?
Ooh, that's a good question. Really good question.
We're getting the juice tonight.
A little bit. Actually, mid-river. this time of year, you know, a lot of people are throwing towards the bank. They kind of mm-hmm. beating the bank up. But if you turn that kayak and actually point the other way and fish it out literally mid river and drag it around and hit some of those boulders and some of those bigger rocks out there and finding some of that stuff, this time of year, you can absolutely wreck them and the big ones too. So
cool. Now it's funny because Ryan and I have had this discussion recently, the difference in mid river, because, you know, he showed me a picture of his river and it totally blew my mind, because for me, mid river is half a mile out.
Right.
But right. Ryan,
yeah, for me, it's like 50 feet.
Same here, so, man. Same here.
So mid river can mean a lot of different things, but I get what you're saying is you're targeting a little bit, you're not beating the bank up as much as you are kind of checking out the middle
yeah,
of wherever you're going.
And sometimes it's that little bit of depth change. River, you think of like it's all the same depth and all that. But, man, I've learned that if you can find – and this goes for lakes too – even a one-foot difference, that doesn't seem like a lot, 1 foot at all. But if you can find a one-foot difference, sometimes it can mean you catching fish or not catching fish. And it's same way in the river. You can chuck these tubes out there and right in the middle, there's a little bit of a depth change or just some different stuff out there, bigger boulders, things like that. You can really get bit well out there.
Right. And if you find a little pocket like that and you catch one, fire back in there. Cause usually
if
there's one, you can, I bet there's almost always going to be a couple.
That's right. And it seems like the big ones sometimes will swim together too. So
Right. And they don't seem to mind to watch their buddy get yanked out right in front of them.
No, they don't. Nope.
And how about lakes? Like where are you generally targeting on lakes?
There's a few different approaches you can go there. We talked about kind of the open hook for deeper water and kind of those clearer bottoms and those things, but if I'm looking to Texas rig it and put a big weight on it, big grass flats, things like that can be great. But if I'm rigging it stupid style, I'll either go kind of weed edges, and what's nice about it, you can pull right through that weed edge and let it fall right down the weed edge. Or it is the most underrated dock bait, I think, ever. Like, it gets so many bites around docks because the tube, it can mimic so many things, but man, it really looks like a bluegill. And there's a ton of bluegill around docks for the most part. And you can skip it so easy, especially like on a spinning rod and the 3.7 tube with a 3/16 head. You can skip that thing a mile. And it's easy to skip. It's not super, super intimidating to skip. Like if somebody's trying to learn how to skip docks, that's the bait I'd tell them to start with. Cause you're not going to get hung up. I mean, you can even kind of sort of ding pontoons with it too. And it doesn't make a sound. So like it's an excellent skipping bait. So
cool. I think that spiraling action too would help it. Maybe if you're getting close, it'll spiral its way down kind of back where you might not be able to skip or.
Yeah. You know.
What I'm really curious to hear right now is the setup that you're using to throw this on.
So the 3.7, I throw basically like a seven, somewhere around a 7 foot spinning rod, medium action. I had Kyle King of King of the Rods build me a tube rod. And what I did is I brought the reel seat back a little bit because I hate getting hit with the reel seat in the kayak. And I just feel like the handle was just way too long on a lot of rods. So it's a medium action. Ideally, if you can get like a medium light plus, like that's the ticket as far as action. I use a 30 size quantum reel.
Like a little bit stiffer than a medium light, but a little bit lighter than a medium.
Yep, right in that middle. If you could find that thing, that will be a perfect tube rod for you. And this is where it's interesting, is the line choice. I am 100% fluorocarbon 8 pound test line.
Okay, interesting.
So no grade backing?
No, never. Ooh. Never. Ooh. I feel like I was losing touch with it and feeling. Remember we were talking about how that initial fall, a lot of times they'll wreck it. Well, I learned with braid and also talking with Terry McWilliams, and he does it the exact same way I do, that braid deadens that bite. So it's actually tougher to feel that bite. So anytime that I'm not reeling a bait, most time I don't use braid. It's fluorocarbon and 100% fluorocarbon.
And that makes me wonder how many I've missed because I almost always use braid to the fluoro-leader. So
yeah.
I'm tempted to bail on that at least on one rod and see what it's like.
So. Try it. You will be impressed about how like I can sit there with the completely slack line with fluorocarbon and I can feel my line jump. You do that same thing with braid and that braid just kills that feeling. Now braids are great. Like when braid's tight, like when you're reeling and you actually tighten up on them, like you feel it then. But if it's got any drag or
slack,
yeah, at all, it's very tough to feel those fish.
Interesting, because that's what, and I for the longest time, that's why I didn't like the net rig because I never felt the bite a lot of times, but I'm wondering now if maybe that's part of my problem. So
could very well be.
Interesting.
Could very well be. And then
that fluoro, straight fluoro on a spinning reel, man, it's rough. Like it wants to like come off and stuff. I've had a lot of issues out of that.
So, what's his name? Randy Blockett. He's got a YouTube channel. I just learned this not too long ago and I tried it on one of my reels and I'll be damned if it didn't work. Put the whole spool in a bucket of water while you're doing it. And man, it cuts down on the friction completely. So you don't get those like weird loops and all that stuff in your line. And it goes on completely smooth on that.
Doesn't have to be hot water or anything, just a bucket of.
No, just needs to be something just to kill that friction. And check out his YouTube channel and it really changed my mind about how to put line on a rod.
Okay. Interesting. I will have to try that out as well because I've had the same issue Ryan had. You know, you go to cast and it just wants to spiral
off there. It's crazy. Makes that sound. You're like, oh man, here we go. Like,
I thought birds' nests were only for bait casters.
Yeah,
fair enough. I did it. No.
Yep. And yeah, so that's my setup for the lighter, the 3.7 tube. Now for the 4.2, I tune it up a little bit. I throw that on a bait caster, like a 7.2. 7.4 medium action rod. And I actually don't mind a medium heavy ish rod there. And 17 to 20 pound fluoro.
And when do you switch up sizes? Like what makes you want to jump to the bigger size?
It's almost always when I'm lake fishing, but not skipping docks. Cause that 4.2, it gets a little bit big, especially with that HD tube jig in it. And I feel like I can't skip it as well with that heavier weight in it. And I've actually done a side-by-side comparison with my spinning rod. And I can – that lighter tube just skips just so much easier and so much better. That's when I look to go – when I'm not skipping docks, when I'm fishing offshore or something like that, I'll most time bump that up to that 4.2.
Okay. I'm definitely a noob when it comes to baitcasters too, and I'm still learning to skip with a baitcaster. I can skip with a spinning rod all day long, but I do have what's the rod reel I have?
Rodo DC.
My Corrado DC, nice. That I'm learning to skip with that because it takes a little bit of the
it does.
The learning curve out of it. So
I got mine at Christmas and I still haven't strung it up.
Oh, no. You got to do it just for the noise it makes, man. I love that noise.
Oh, man, I need to. And I was actually just now, not to, you know, be disrespectful to y'all or anything, but it hit me. Y'all got a tournament tomorrow night. So, like, it hit me on a couple setups that I need to set up. And so, like, I got my notes on my phone real quick while y'all were talking. And, like, I was, like, putting some notes down so I wouldn't forget it. And one of them, I'm actually wanting to put that reel on a finesse jig setup because those finesse jigs by Jig Masters, you know, I've been liking them, but I feel like my regular jig rod is just it's too much for those little quarter ounce tiny jigs. So like I'm wanting to do a whole new setup, and I've got like a cheap rod that I can use to like for now till I can upgrade for that setup. But I want to use that reel for that just because it's so light. I feel like I'm going to be bird nesting a lot, you know, trying to cast it, and especially if I'm trying to cast it long distances. So I need to rig it up for that. But I'm just such a Daiwa guy. Like I'm sure I'm going to like the reel, but I love my Daiwas, and so, I don't know.
But yeah. I was thinking that with that stouter hook, you probably do want to bump up maybe to a medium heavy just to kind of bury that a little bit more. Now I know Ryan, you're kind of a bigger fan of the light wire hooks, right? For some things, so.
Yeah. Well, pretty much anything that I have a choice in the hooks. You know, I'm lazy, so if it comes to like a crankbait or something like that, I'm not the type that goes changing out my hooks in a crankbait or anything like that, but like in stuff that I have choice from, and you know, we've said this on the podcast several times. I believe I even got the idea originally from Brian. I believe he's the one that started, but those light wire hooks in a kayak, you know, we got a lot more movement whenever we go to set the hook compared to like a bigger boat or somebody from the bank. So those lighter wire with lighter, thinner hooks, you know, penetrate a little bit easier. You know, depending on what the technique is, you might have to finesse them a little more to get them in to make sure you don't bend out the hook, which most of the light wire hooks that I've dealt with, you know, they're still pretty strong. So, but yeah, like my Ned rigs, I got a little bitty tiny hook on there. Never had an issue with those bending out. My jigs, I use the Jig Masters light wire jigs. You know, they're light wire. They're a lot smaller than your typical jig hook, but they're still not a small hook in my mind. But never had an issue out of those. Yeah.
I don't know if I can. So that's the difference in them.
Let me see if I can
make that big. Yeah.
There we go.
Oh, awesome.
Yes.
So this one's the HD. So this is the, you know, it's got a bigger line tie on it. And then this is the standard head. So a little bit smaller, a little more finesse.
It'd probably be more what I go for right there.
And they're both 4-aught hooks, but you can see that this one's much stouter.
Bigger gauge. Yeah.
Yep. And it, man, it, when you're throwing that 4.2, do not put this. Don't put the HT head in the 3.7. You'll destroy that poor little tube with this. but yeah, when you're throwing that bigger tube, man, that seems to be the deal. And then you bring up a really good point, Ryan. Like with the as much as we all want to, you know, we all love that big hook set. With that lighter wire hook on that on the 3.7 tube, you're better off if you can kind of reel in to them a little bit versus just popping them. If you can just almost reel set it, like you would like a drop shot, you know, kind of reel set it and bring it in, you'll hook up with a lot more fish that way with that setup. And you,
something that I didn't mention just now when I was going through that. And I know I've said it several times on here before, but I don't have a strong hook set. You know, my hook sets, I feel like, I mean, even though I'm a bigger guy, like, I don't know, I got kind of a sissy hook set. And so I feel like definitely with that, the lighter wire hooks work better for me. Where if you've got like a really strong hook set, then you're probably not going to want a lighter wire hook, because you're probably just going to rip right through the fish's mouth.
Yep. Man, Ryan, honestly, if you try some of these 3.7s down there, I know that you'll just crush them. Lakes, anywhere. I mean, it's so crazy the amount of bites you can get on these things too.
I'm on a Secret Lures website right now, you know, setting up my order. Okay.
There you go. Yep, get that order in. I mean, Danny down there, so they're a small business down in southern Indiana. And man, they've
you know what part?
Tell City. Okay. So they're kind of on the Ohio River down there. High River's right in their backyard, which sounds cool, but man, the Ohio River is very tough fishing. Like
I've never tried it. I've got a family around Evansville, Indiana.
Okay. Yeah.
And the Ohio River goes right through there, and I've always looked at it, I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't put a kayak in there. But yeah. I've always wondered, like, I wonder just how the fishing is there.
It's tough. I mean, there's times in boat tournaments where like 7-8 pounds will win a tournament.
Wow.
Like it's very tough down there, and guys throw this kind of stuff down there. The stupid tube's kind of interesting. It's a very regional thing. And Sean and I were talking about it a little bit. It's like you can draw a line. It seems like it doesn't cross the border of Indiana hardly at all. And you start creeping up north, and guys start using open hook jig because, you know, they're fishing smaller chunk rock and things like that. Man, you can take that stupid tube and you can really crush them. You can go behind people and catch them really good on this tube. So,
yeah, I'm honestly really excited. I really want to try this now. I've always been like, yeah, it'd be cool to try, but I never have, but, you know, talking about it, it makes me really want to try, especially you saying that right there. The reason why is here in Tennessee, it don't matter where you go, everything gets beat up. Like, there's a ton of people that fish here. People fish year round because we don't get frozen water. So, like, constant pressure. So, I don't know. I've never heard anybody talk about using a tube around here. So, if you put something in front of them that they've never seen, like, they've seen everything else.
Right.
There's, like, nothing you can put in front of them that they haven't seen before, pretty much.
They probably see a dozen Zoom trick worms a day.
Oh, my God. That's why I think that's one of the reasons why I've gravitated towards the Ned rig this year, because, you know, Ned rig, you can get bit almost anytime, anywhere, you know, big fish, little fish, whatever.
Dorito bite.
Yeah, Dorito bite.
Yeah,
but
in the tube, you'll get a lot of bites, but you'll be really surprised at how many big bites you get on a tube. Like, you'll get numbers and size.
Okay, so I was about to ask: is it similar to like a Ned rig? Where, you know, Ned rig's the same for me. Like, you know, I catch. I think yesterday I caught one that was maybe like 6 inches, and, you know, I've caught, you know, closer to 20 inches on a Ned rig. So, like, is it similar to that where you can catch a ton of fish on it and various size?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so I fished one of our tournaments up here this year. Indiana's kind of weird. Up in the northern part of the state, we have a lot of those clear water lakes. You get down kind of towards my area, and it starts getting reservoir and muddy water, and then you get down south, and it's like, you know, like farm ponds and smaller bodies of water, but very muddy water. So I was actually skipping docks up there, and, yeah, you just never know. I mean, you set the hook, And they all hit it so hard that it's like you have no idea if it's a, you know, if it's a 12 incher or a 22 inch fish. Like, you just don't know. But it tends to do both. It gets bites and it gets really good quality bites too.
Cool. Well, I know we're getting close to the hour mark, which is where we usually try to cut it, but I still got a couple questions with this. Like, I don't know. I guess I'm getting a little too excited. One thing, you know, I kind of said before we got started is I want to talk about, you know, is it possible to use it for night fishing? Because I got a night fishing tournament tomorrow night. And I've got some tube jig heads, and some of them that I have, I won these in a giveaway in case anybody's wondering, because I've never thrown a tube before. So like, why do you have tube jig heads? But, some of them got rattles, you know, built on the head. And I was thinking, you know, that rattle, you know, use that noise at nighttime to kind of draw them in. So is that something you would use when fishing at night?
Yeah, I'm literally like when I say that I always have a tube tied on, I mean, like literally, like if it's pitch dark right here right now. And I would go and I would throw the heck out of that 4.2 and I would just throw it everywhere. You can with it with those open hooks. You know, a lot of guys like up on Lake Erie, gosh, it's been a long time ago. I fished a tournament up there as a co-angler. And they'll use those exact heads you're talking about, and they'll rip them up off the bottom. And you can almost, like, you're ripping them so hard, you can almost hear the rattles. Like,
wow.
It's, and they catch giant smallmouth doing that. I wouldn't be scared to throw it at all at night, a tube. Like you're talking about, kind of an open hook or the stupid tube or a Texas rig. Like, I would absolutely throw a tube at night.
Okay. You know, I've heard a couple different ways. Like, if you just have rattles, you can put them in, just kind of stuff them in and then put the jig head tube in. Same with scents and stuff. I've heard of people putting that, kind of shooting that in there first and then kind of stopping it up with different materials, whether it's like a little piece of sponge or something.
Yep.
Heard all sorts of different things for rigging, just to, you know, different, because it's basically a hollow body, so you can kind of fill that cavity with whatever you want.
Yep, you can fill that thing with a ton of old school smelly jelly, like whatever you want to put in there, like you were saying. Yeah.
I think maybe BBs or something would work. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, they sell, you know, to Ryan's point, they sell some rattles. And yeah, I mean, I've never tried it that way, but kind of have my wheels spin a little bit on how to put rattles in that bad boy. So,
yeah. Well, if y'all want to see if I can find them real quick, I believe they're in my terminal tackle box, but I'm not sure. But, like, yeah, it's just built onto it.
Yep. Is it on the neck right here?
Yeah. Yep. Actually, yep. We're talking about it. If y'all want to talk for a minute, I can actually pull it up.
I was trying to think, is there any other things you think we missed? So we covered
color. Did we cover color?
I don't think so.
I don't think we did. So again, I keep it very simple. The 3.7, the 4.2, whatever I'm throwing. It's either black and blue of some sort. So this is black with blue fleck. Great color. A lot of times I'll let the watercolor determine my color. If it's a little muddy or it's really muddy, like this is, you know, I'm going to go with the black and blue or just a simple green pumpkin if the water's really clear. Like, It doesn't, like, to me, that's like peanut butter and jelly, right? Like, that's the only two colors I need. And I don't stray away from these two colors. I use my garage right now, and these are the only two colors that I have of tube.
All right. Well, I got this.
Share it.
All right. So this is the same brand that I have. I won this giveaway with Bite Me Tackle. And, you know, it seems like a really cool company too. So,
yep.
But, yeah, they got these. Now, this looks, I feel like this looks different than what I got a little bit, but just the only one I saw on their website there. But, yeah, just got this little cylinder here with these beads in it for the rattle.
Yep.
And, yeah, I just thought it'd be pretty cool.
They, it kind of the head design. It's like
heavy, though.
Yeah, those are pretty heavy. Those are kind of made. There it is. Yep.
Yeah, here we go.
Those bigger head ones are great to stuff in a tube to really imitate like a goby. You know, getting up in the Great Lakes region, you get gobies, and you can kind of flare out the head and almost make it look like a goby.
I was gonna say, I kind of remember. I'm drawing a blank. What's the YouTube guys I was just talking about at the beginning of the show?
Tactical Bassing.
Yeah, they were talking about using like a football head kind of jig head in there. You know, it really bulbs out the head. You know, gives it that goby look. If you can find a tube that'll let you stretch it enough, but
that's right. Yeah.
Now, tell me this. I know you said what sizes you kind of have. You used like a 1/16, because you know that's about the size that I use for a Ned Rig head, and people look at me like I'm crazy going that light. But you know, I don't know. I love the slow fall of it and everything. So have you done anything like that?
I've thrown some smaller stuff. I want to say it's what is it? Like about an eighth or so. So like still pretty small stuff. I feel like it gets carried away a little bit, especially like in the river, which isn't a bad thing.
Yeah. This is mainly for like lake. I know river, you're going to have to go a little bit heavier, to keep from getting pushed by all the current.
That 3/16 actually has a pretty slow fall rate. It's pretty good. I wouldn't be scared to go to a lighter size. But that's just kind of what works for me. And you know, one day if I'm fishing a river and then one day I'm fishing somewhere else, I don't have to worry about it. I just have the same size. That's another deadly little secret in the river too, is if you can float it a little bit. If you can get that tube, well, that's not a tube. If you can get that tube to like get in the current and just kind of just do this and just kind of bob up and down and just float naturally in the current, that can be money too.
I feel like I have lots of places I could potentially do that, because if you get the right weight and we have the right drift, I think it would be easy to find a spot where it would do that. So
yeah, even with that 3/16, you can kind of reel it along to kind of help it and keep it up a little bit. That's what I would try at first, is something like that, and let it kind of float a little bit, and then you'll see your line just take off. So,
ooh, man, this company's about to get some of my money. So since I'm on here, I was kind of browsing. They even have rattling shaky head jigs.
Oh, Bite Me? Bite Me Tackle? Yeah. Yeah, they make some really, really good stuff. They're, you know, like a lot of the Great Lakes anglers, a lot of those guys up north, that's like one of their go-to jigs right there, Bite Me.
Oh, sorry. I thought I lost y'all for a second. No. Yeah, they're actually – I don't know if they still – I haven't watched in a while, but Stray Cast, you know, they got the live show on Facebook and got the cool little show. If you're looking for another podcast to listen to or a live show to watch, you know, check them out. They're pretty cool. They talk to a lot of, like, the pro bass boat guys.
Yep.
And I'm not sure if Bite Me's still a sponsor of theirs. I haven't watched it in a while, but I know they used to be a sponsor of theirs. And that's actually where I won my giveaway. And, you know, they even got some cool-looking jigs, you know. I use the Jig Masters, but these here, you know, if you got something super heavy, I don't know, they don't look like they'd stand up, but it looks like they come through cover really well. And I've used them before, you know, back in my more noob days. And yeah, they did pretty well for me.
Cool. All right, man. Well, we are, like Ryan was saying, we are a little bit over an hour now. So, Matt, I wanted to give you a chance to shout out any sponsors you have or social media where people can follow you.
Did you want to talk about the crawl real quick?
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot. Brian would kill me if I didn't.
You almost failed. Good thing you said.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah
Brian, Brian. Man.
So this is like – this is something I've just been playing with, and it's new. So it's a crawl. So it's got pinchers, and you can – you know, if you want more action, you just undo the pinchers there, free them up. So it looks like just a regular old crawl, but what Secret Lures has done is they've hollowed it out.
Wow.
So you take your same stupid tube jig head and you put it in there. This thing, as far as dock bites, like, it has been absolutely nuts what I've been catching recently on this. It's got a flat bottom on it. So, man, it skips so well. And then it's got, like, you can come through and it's got like little rigging guides and little ridges, like, so the hook goes there.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then it's got on the backside, it's got a little dot to where your eyelet's going to come out. And then you can also swim this thing. I don't know if swimming a jig is very powerful where you're from, but man, this is like, it's like a little compact jig to swim. It's awesome. You can also just drop and drag it too. So, Brian, I was talking to Brian, earlier this week about it, and he's like, yeah, I'm gonna have to go try that out. So,
yeah, I cool. think, they're going to take some of my money too. Cause that's
yeah, it's pretty cool. And even, you know, if you're in a pinch and like ran out of your favorite jig trailer, you can go like, oh, I got those tube things. You could put that on there. So,
yep. And
two in one.
And being hollow like that, like, do you have Helgramites out there, Sean?
Yes. In the river? Yes.
Like, what's that? That looks like a Helgramite to me. Like that thing is killer. And yeah, you can stuff it with any scent or anything you want to as well. And man, yeah, it's this thing's a lot of fun. They actually made a special formula of a plastic for it too. So, I mean, you can feel it. It's different. So it, cool. it's been a lot of fun trying that bad boy out. So,
well, I guess I know what I'm doing after we get out
here. So. I'm already started. So, but yeah, Matt, I appreciate you coming on here, man. It's been really cool getting to talk to you and everything. Like Sean was saying earlier, you got any like sponsors and stuff you want to shout out?
Yeah, so New Canoe, man, I've been New Canoe ever since I started kayak fishing, basically. So they do a lot for me, so I've always appreciated their support. I have a few other smaller guys that I work with, and actually Danny down at Secret Lures is one of them. I've been with Danny for like, gosh, 3 or 4 years now, and it's been great with them. They've got some other things on their website too, so get on there and check out. SecretLures.com. They've got some great stuff. It's available at Tackle Warehouse now. So if you're a big Tackle Warehouse fan, you can get them there. And then also, you know, he'll ship direct to you as well if you don't have a dealer. PH Custom Lures. So another guy that I've worked with. Gosh, I've been with Phil for a while. Those of you that aren't familiar with PH Custom Lures, their real big item is handmade balsa baits, which is big in this area. Solar Bat sunglasses. I've been with them for a little while now. And then Moving Water Outfitters here locally in Zionsville, Indiana. They've helped me out ever since I started fishing, kayak fishing. So appreciate their support as well.
Cool. You got some social media where people can follow you?
Sure. Yeah. I think Sean said he's going to tag this on Facebook. So Facebook, if anybody has any questions about tubes at all, feel free to reach out to me. I would be more than happy to tell you what I know about them. This is a system that works for me. It might not work for you, but this is a great starting point for anybody. And then, yeah, Instagram, it's Matt A. Gibson. So, yeah, again, anybody has any questions at all about any of these lures or kind of my thought process on any of them, please feel free to reach out.
Awesome, dude.
Well, once again, man, appreciate you coming on. It's been a great conversation.
Yeah, thank you, guys. And I always appreciate Paddle and Fin for what they do for the kayak community. It's so awesome to have all your guys' shows. So thank you guys for everything you guys do as well.
No problem, man. Thanks.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. It makes me feel good. But yeah, everybody, appreciate y'all listening. This has been the Bass Fishing for Noobs segment on the Paddle and Fin podcast, bringing you the techniques, tricks, and tips to help you rip more lips. Later, y'all.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler, the Angler Button and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.